Hello, and welcome to Radio Free Palmer's Mat-Su Borough 2016 election interviews. I'm Kenny Linden, and joining me in the studio today is Sven Johnson, who is running for a seat on the Palmer City Council. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So the theme to our questions is the more things change, the faster they change. And diving into our first question, it's a pretty lengthy one, so we can pull things apart as well. How do you see yourself working with others serving on the city council? Do you collaborate well across ideological divides? And although local elected positions are considered nonpartisan, how do you view political parties or ideology as influences on the current race?
Well, obviously it's a kind of a very partisan atmosphere in the whole country right now. I think that kind of thing can seep into the local level, it's best at these local levels to, try to cut through that and just work together with other people that you may not always agree with, but the business of the city has to be done, no matter what, and we can't put things on hold for ideological reasons, decisions will have to be made, and if you have to work with other people that you disagree with, that's politics, and that's what needs to happen.
Do you have any experience having worked with people from a lot of different ideological backgrounds? Or
I was in the Coast Guard. That's where I started my adult life, was when I left Palmer and went into the Coast Guard. And the cool thing about being in the Coast Guard and the military in general is that you get to, you're thrown in with all these other people from all over the country, all these different backgrounds, and you're forced to work with other people, and it really helps you, meld together as a team. When you're on a ship together, you can't be at each other's throats about small things. You have to work together, literally life or death. So, I'd say that's one way I've experienced working with other people, from different backgrounds, and it's the kind of thing I'll bring to the city council.
And where do you see yourself in the makeup of what the current city council is, or what it potentially could be when it comes to ideological, perspectives? Do you find yourself closer to the conservative side or progressive or somewhere in the middle, moderate?
I think part of, since we're talking about, politics in general, it's part of the problem in this country is that I think there's an awful lot of people that feel like they're not totally represented by either side. And, I'm pretty conservative on a lot of things and a pretty progressive on a lot of other things. I think I won't say that I'm all one way or all the other.
And I think that's a good segue into our next question. If you were to become elected, or even as part of your campaign process now, how do you reach your constituents, especially those feeling left out of the public policy conversation or those that may feel disenfranchised? So that might play into that idea of maybe not appealing to either end of the political spectrum, or
a great thing, whether I win or lose, it's been a great experience already, because I've gotten to go door to door and just knock on people's doors and talk to them, ask them if they have any city issues, and it's been great to just talk to people. It's the first question I ask them is if they have any city issues they want to discuss, and all kinds of things have been brought to my attention that I wasn't aware of. And so that's one way I've been able to get in touch with people and find out about some issues that you wouldn't think of necessarily. And they can be very surprisingly specific by neighborhood, even in a relatively small town like this.
Do you have any examples of those?
One that was brought up when I was up in Cedar Hills was there's talk of opening up a new tract of land up there for for development. There was concerns up in Cedar Hills about how that would be developed and what that would entail. I know someone mentioned to me up in Cedar Hills that they wanted to see the zoning process include a process for creating city parks, because they mentioned they don't have any parks up there in Cedar Hills, and they want to see that if they do develop the new tract of land. Another one over in the I guess that would be the south side of town, kind of by Fairview Loop, where the senior housing is. There were some concerns about some housing, some low income housing they were putting in. That was an issue for them because they were right next to it. Over by the north side of town, there's the railroad trail. There was some concerns in the neighborhood there about the parking lot for the railroad trail, and possible illegal activity happening back there. So those are just three different neighborhoods I've been to, and each had a issue that was specific to their neighborhood that they were concerned about.
Great. And with those conversations, have you talked to a lot of people that feel like they're disenfranchised or not part of the political process, or feel like it's difficult to become involved or to be heard with the city council?
I mean, I can't say that for sure. Whether I met anyone who is disenfranchised, I can for sure say that they were happy to have someone there that was listening to their concerns. And that's definitely something I want to bring to city council if I'm elected, is I want to keep listening to what people have to say. And, I think it would be a great idea to just walk around and talk to people if I am elected, and just keep that conversation going. And of course, a great thing about Palmer is we have everywhere you go, there's community, you can keep talking to people because it's so tight knit here. And so, I'm looking forward to, keeping that conversation going just by everyday life, whether it's walking, getting your groceries at Fred Meyer's, or going getting a cup of coffee. You can talk to people everywhere and get feedback. So
have you thought of any more formal ways, like using social media or having like coffee chats or some way to keep constituents engaged post the election?
I think that's a great idea. I don't have a Facebook page for my campaign up and operating, but definitely something I think I could easily put together for people to leave feedback on. I think putting together a meeting, on a monthly basis would be a great idea to hear what people have to say. So I'd be very open to that.
Great. And moving on to our next question, what is your stance on term limits? And this is specifically relating to the Palmer City Council recently discussed a ballot initiative, which failed to pass the city council. Do you believe there should be more discussion around this issue?
Everyone is free to vote every election for their mayor and their city council. And if they don't like the job that someone's doing, or they've been there too long, I mean, everyone's free to not elect that person. So I don't see that. If you have a good person on city council, I don't see why they, or as mayor for that matter, I don't see why they shouldn't serve as long as they can keep being elected. So I don't have a problem with that. I don't think that term limits are unnecessary, at least at this time.
You believe they're unnecessary?
I don't believe that term limits are necessary. No.
What about how the process takes place when it comes to the city council itself voting to decide whether or not there should be term limits for their own positions? I think that was something that was really interesting in the conversation over the last couple of months around term limits, was whether or not there should be a ballot initiative, and who makes that decision of whether or not constituents have a direct impact, or if it's city council members making that Do you have any perspective on that?
Well, I guess you're asking, like, how can people who are vote for their own term limits, you know, that are vested interest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a great point. I guess I'll just refer that back to the democratic process we already have. I mean, if this is a really important issue to citizens, I mean, I think, and they really, really feel that the sitting council members can't vote on it the right way, then they need to use the democratic process to, you know, get rid of the people they feel have served too long, and then they can be brought up again, and, you know, we'll see what happens, you know. And so I think if citizens in Palmer are worried about it, they need to you know, involve themselves more in the process and make it happen, because that's why I got involved in this campaign in the first place, was because there's all these good things you want to see happen, but, you know, they're not going to happen unless you involve yourself somehow. So that's why I encourage everyone to get out, go to council meetings, to run for office themselves, to vote, of course.
Great, thank you. And moving on to our next question. How do you view your relationship with the state as a potential local policymaker? Do you support being a member of statewide organizations such as the Alaska Municipal League? And what would you like to see in the working budget relationship with the state in light of our current fiscal crisis?
Well, I think we need to be careful to insulate ourselves from the financial crisis that the state of Alaska is finding itself in. I think Palmer's in a great position to do that. We're in a great position here to avoid those financial problems. So I think that obviously Alaska's already a really small state in the sense of, you know, small population. And so it's good and it's inevitable that we're going to have a close relationship with the state, but I think we also need to be careful about becoming overly dependent on state money, or else we could ultimately suffer, you know, along with the state government when they run into all these problems they've been having with the oil revenues and such. So,
do you have any perspective on the Alaska Municipal League and being a member of that as a statewide organization for Palmer and for city council members?
No, I don't really have any specific insight into that.
And what I think, thinking about the state and thinking about our fiscal policies and things, what would you do as a city council member to maintain or grow relationships with our local legislative delegations, our local representatives and senators?
Well, I think it comes down to taking the job seriously and being active. You know, keep talking to the legislators to make sure that Palmer gets the representation it deserves in Juneau. Sometimes these things are, you know, as small as just being active, you know, making phone calls or you know, sending emails to the representatives and to the delegation and such. So it can be, I think it just comes back to taking things seriously and not just, you know, letting things go.
Have you started cultivating those relationships?
My mother, she was the mayor of Palmer. She's going to be stepping down soon.
And that's Delina Johnson?
Delina Johnson, yes. Mm-hmm. And she's, I think she's done a great job with Palmer. And she's actually running for the state house right now. And so if she wins her election, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that that I'll be talking to my mother and stuff. So, she loves Palmer a lot. She's, she really has the good of the city at heart. So, when she goes off to Juneau, I'm sure she'll continue to look out for the city here as best she can. And, obviously I'll be here in the city issues. If I'm elected, I'll be in the city issues, you know, dealing with them and, you know, able to relate them back to her firsthand. So, I have that connection, and that would be, I think that'd really help out.
Great. Thank you. And moving on to our next question, what is your perspective on the way the city council currently functions? And if you believe there should be changes, what, if any, do you propose?
Well, one issue that came up when I was talking to voters over on the south side of the city, the community where the seniors live, they were some of the voters I talked to there. They were pretty angry because the zoning commission, planning and zoning commission, the council can't sway their decisions at all. It has no veto power on their decisions. You know, they're appointed, and then after that, the council can't do anything. So I think that's just one example of a place where the council could you know, exercise more oversight and more sway. And I think that's something that'll need to be looked into.
Specifically when it comes to the different boards that report to the city council?
Exactly. Yeah, I think, you know, it's, first of all, it's just not a very democratic process, you know, to have appointed people that make decisions and then the council can't overrule them. So I think that's something that could be looked into. Other voters have, you know, complained about the council to me. They've had some concerns about the way the council has done business in the past. And so, one complaint that I've heard from voters is that the council has sometimes micromanaged city issues too much. And so that's something else that I definitely would, you know, want to put a stop to if it was going on the best they could. I don't think on one hand we need to exercise oversight. Leaders need to exercise oversight, but at the same time we need to trust people to do their jobs, especially on the smaller things. So,
and are you referring to maybe the relationship between the council and the city manager and who is in charge of what sort of day-to-day operations, or how? What do you mean when it comes to the micromanaging aspect?
I didn't press the people that mentioned that. I didn't press them too much on that, but you know, definitely something I'd be on the lookout for.
And do you have a background in, or have you served on any boards or on city council in the past? Or
no, I haven't. I haven't worked for the city before. As far as leadership experience, I'll just refer back to, my time in the Coast Guard where I was an officer. I was in charge of, quite a few different people at the same time. So I have a pretty good grasp of leadership. I'm good at working with people with different personalities and different backgrounds, different ideas. So that's what I'll really draw on for leadership.
Great. And going on to our last question, and then we might pull a few things forward as well. What do you think is more important, voting based on your constituents' concerns or your own conscience?
Well, I'd say that I would hope that the people that vote for me, they trust my conscience. They trust me to make good decisions. And so that's what part of what this system is about is, you know, you elect the right people. You elect the right people to make decisions. And but having said that, obviously, if once elected, if I am getting a lot of feedback on something from constituents, you know, that's their feedback's definitely something that's going to need to be taken into account. There's no doubt about it. So I think listening to what constituents say is very important, especially, you know, like I've already mentioned some of these neighborhood specific issues that people have. You know, it can be hard to understand an issue fully unless you live in a certain neighborhood. And so, you know, the insight that individual constituents have could be invaluable, because they'll be able to fill you in on exactly what's happening, you know, in a way that you might not understand because you live in a different neighborhood. So,
are there any specific issues that that have inspired you to run, that within even your neighborhood within the city, or is there why did you decide to run for city council?
Well, my wife and I just had our first son 2 weeks ago. He was born down at the Valley.
Congratulations!
Thank you. He was born down at the Valley Hospital here, and things you start to think a lot more about where you live once you have a kid, and I want my son to grow up somewhere that's a nice town like Palmer already is. I want to see Palmer stay a nice town. I want to see it become an even better town. And so that's one part. I have a few issues that are close to me. One thing people worry a lot about in Palmer is balancing development with our small town atmosphere. You know, I want to see Palmer. I want to see businesses in Palmer doing well, but at the same time, I don't want to see our small town lifestyle infringed upon by, development that's not responsible. So that's one thing that I'm concerned about. Another issue that is really close to me is accessibility for bikes and pedestrians. One thing I noticed, when I walk around here is there's a lot of times not crosswalks in the right places. And so you have high school kids and middle school kids and younger kids running across busy streets and dangerous spots. And so I'd like to see a better plan for pedestrians in the city to keep kids and other pedestrians safe. And then as far as bikes, I think that Palmer's would be a great place for biking, especially during the summer. I ride my bike to work almost every day. And, we've already got some good bike trails. Already got a lot of potential. It probably would just take a little bit of planning and connecting the dots and what we already have to make it a real, really biker-friendly city. So those are two issues I think that are close to me.
Do you foresee any particular city council member that you could build relationships with to work on those issues? Or do you think the makeup of the city council at the moment would be conducive to hearing some of those issues, like bike-friendly areas and pedestrian-friendly areas?
Well, I understand that, and it's really unfortunate I haven't been able to talk to him yet, but council member Mr. LaFrance, I've heard that he's working on some bikeability plans and issues and such. So that's, seems like he'd be a great person to team up with. But unfortunately, I haven't gotten to talk with him yet. So I'm looking forward to getting to know him better and talking about bikeability and pedestrian accessibility.
Great. Thank you. And we are close to our time. Is there any last words or thoughts that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, I just, it's really been fun to run so far. It's been fun because get to go around and explore Palmer, go to meet all these people. It's just been really fun so far. And, meeting all these people and talking to all the voters has been a great experience just as it is. So it's, just reminded me, why I'm doing this. And I've been able to travel almost all over the United States. And, Palmer is pretty unique in a lot of ways and the way it's set up and the community we have here. It's just like a thriving small town, and it's a treasure. The town's a treasure, and I want to see that you know, retain that character. And so that's, I just, you know, really, really enjoy Palmer. I really like what it is. And, that's why I want to run and be on the council.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And again, we were speaking with Sven Johnson, who is running for Palmer City Council. Next Tuesday, October 4th, is Election Day, and you are able to, every voter is able to vote for two possible city council members. So thank you again for joining us today, and good luck on Tuesday.
Hey, thanks for having me.